following was delivered at Antioch Presbyterian Church, a mission work of Calvary Presbytery of the Presbyterian Church in America, located in Woodruff, South Carolina. For more information about Antioch Presbyterian Church, please visit antiochpca.com or contact us at info@antiochpca.com. May the Lord bless you as you receive gracious instruction from His Word.
I would like to open today with a reading from Psalm 67. So please open the Bible to Psalm 67. Page 521, if I'm not mistaken. Psalm 67, this is God's Word. For the choir director, with stringed instruments, a psalm. God be gracious to us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. That Your way may be known on the earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God, let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise You, O God, let all the peoples praise You. The earth yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us, that all the ends of the earth may fear Him. Psalm 67. I want you to imagine in your mind a fountain. You've all seen a fountain before. And at the very top of this fountain, there's water that is gushing forth. And on each level of the fountain below, there are basins of water, where the water goes to. And it gets wider and wider and wider. And the water flows from the top and it keeps overflowing until at the very bottom it is full of water. And that is the picture that I'd like to use to illustrate for us what God intends for the church in describing and stating Psalm 67. His blessings then are to come upon the church in such a way that we are to experience God's blessings in such a way that we can't help but desire and seek that He would be praised, and the blessings that we enjoy would be enjoyed in all the earth, and that all the peoples of the earth would worship Him. And that is what we are about in Italy. We are seeking that the blessings that God is blessing you with here in Antioch would be enjoyed, imitated, and replicated in Italy and throughout to the ends of the earth. And that is the work of missions, to replicate the blessings of God to the local church, to overflowing, so that it might go forth throughout all the ends of the earth, so that God, who is our God, might be worshipped in spirit and in truth, for He's worthy of our praise. So that is the picture I want to have us in mind when we think of missions, when we think of what do we want for missions in Italy, what do we want for missions in Albania, in Brazil, in other parts of the earth. Well, start with the local church. Start with where God's blessings are coming to us through the means of grace, through the worship of the triune God. And then that is where we begin, and we think, we desire that God might do what He has done to us, that He might do it also to others. Even as Paul said to the Thessalonians, that the word of God might bear fruit, might run freely and profit even as it has unto you, so that it might do so to others. And that is what we desire. We're gonna start with a little fun exercise here. I wish more of the younger ones were here so they could participate. But how many of you have been to Italy? Raise your hand if you've been to Italy. Okay, I know a few have. Okay. Now, this country is greatly influenced by the Italian culture, the nation of Italy, the language, but more so in the area of the kitchen or the culinary aspects. And so I want you to think of three things that begin with a P, the letter P, that influence this country that you find in Italy. Okay? You can just raise your hand and I'll call on you. P. It starts. So think of three things or three foods or entities that begin with a P that are present here in this country that influence our culture. Yes, this young man right here, I saw the hand rise. Pizza. Okay, very good. All right. Okay. Okay. Pepper. Okay. Italians like peppers. That's good. Okay. Pasta. Okay. Pasta. Okay. So pizza, pasta. And I'll mention, if someone can give me, someone gets extra bonus points if they can mention something that starts with a G. Gnocchi. Very good. Okay. Gelato. I threw that as a freebie for Mrs. Piper. Okay. Now, there's another thing though that we have here. In fact, if you go in Greenville, we have the presence of this entity. It starts with a P. It's not officially here, but its influence is very much here. Starts with a P. So we have, in Italy, we have pizza, we have pasta, and we have pepper, very good, okay. We have pizza, pasta, peppers, and we have the Pope. And so the papacy, although it is within a small area of Italy, its influences are in the thinking and the habits and the cultures of countries around the world. And I grew up as a son of, in a family, traditional Roman Catholic family, where we were taught that the Bible is not clear enough for us to understand, that we needed to go to a priest. That's another P. We need to go to a priest in order to understand the Bible. And so that is something very much influenced. For example, how many of you here grew up in a Roman Catholic family? Okay, Dr. Piper. Okay, gentlemen here, sorry for your name. Okay, I did as well. And so we never opened the Bible in the home. And if we had a question about the Bible, we had to go to the priest or the nun, mostly the priest. But that was our upbringing. We had a limited understanding of the Bible. And we were taught that salvation is not by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone. We were taught that salvation is by faith, or by grace, through faith, but not alone, and that you had to participate in a system of sacraments which enabled you then to have meritorious, or to have grace to do meritorious good works. I always had the question, how much was enough? How many works is enough in order to be righteous before God? And so the focus is always inwardly on ourselves, on what we did or did not do, and a sense of guilt. And God was presented not as a good God, not as a loving God, but as a God who had, as it were, had a big stick and was always threatening us. And we had no concept of the love of God in Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ came as the second Adam, perfect man. He came to do that which we could not do. He came to save us from our sins and our misery. And He came and He did it perfectly. And that we can rest in Him. We can rest in Him as He is offered to us in the gospel. And so that is something that we did not hear growing up in a Roman Catholic family. So the influence of the papacy is very much prevalent also here in South Carolina. I remember when I was still living here, I heard numerous stories of people being influenced, especially I remember there's somebody who was dating, or whatever word you want to use, was seeing somebody who was from a Roman Catholic family. And usually how it works is that if somebody is seeing somebody from a Roman Catholic family, the person who is a member of the Roman Catholic Church has the upper hand. And they're the ones who are going to decide in which way the family goes, in which way the marriage relationship goes. In this sense, under the control and influence of the Roman Catholic Church. So it's very much an influence in this culture here in South Carolina. We have to be very careful also what we hear on the radio. They have outreach, they have evangelism to reach people like you who grew up in covenant homes perhaps. And they're going to be using Bible language, but it's often what is missing, not necessarily what is there. So for example, I was driving through near Birmingham, Alabama, listening to the radio, and they were quoting the scripture, they were quoting the Bible, but something just wasn't right. There was the hairs in the back of my head started to stand up, and I said, something's not right here, they're missing something. Something's not being said or not being declared. And sure enough, it was a Roman Catholic evangelistic network reaching out to Protestants, to Presbyterians, just like you, trying to reach out to you, trying to convince you of what they believe, of another gospel. So, Italy, I want you all to think of Italy, imagine Italy, the picture, imagine a map of Italy, where we are. What does Italy resemble? What part of the body? The leg? Think of the boot, right? Okay. My wife is from Sicily, and I don't say this in disrespect for Sicily, but Sicily is where, think of a deflated soccer ball that's being kicked, and that's where Sicily is. We are right about mid-thigh in Italy, so if you look at a map of Italy, children, and you look at the big boot, look around where the knee of the boot is, and then look a little bit upward, look for a lake, and we're right on that lake. We live right by a lake. And our church is called Chiesa Riformata del Trasimeno, Reformed Church of Trasimeno, which is the name of the lake. We started in this mission work, and our goal and desire is to see that the Lord Jesus would build His church, and that these would be Italian churches that are Presbyterian Reformed, that are self-governed, that are self-governed, self-replicating, and that they are carrying forth the work of the gospel throughout Italy. We work with another church, a mother church, you could say, which is a church in Perugia, which is also in central Italy. And there is a pastor there who invited us to come and to labor alongside with him to form a regional church, a presbytery of churches in that area that are confessional, that are Presbyterian, that are Reformed. And together we seek to encourage one another, to hold one another accountable, but also to carry forth the work of evangelism and the gospel. And so that is our desire, our goal. Dr. Piper mentioned I met Ivana 8 years ago, and we moved to this area 2 years ago. But there was just something coincidental that happened. It was in God's providence that in January of this past year, I came down with COVID. Next thing I knew, I was coughing up blood. And next thing I know, I'm in the hospital with double pneumonia. And then I have a blood clot and a stroke. And I can't move. I'm laying in a bed. I can't move. I can turn to my right and to my left. I can't walk. I can't move my hand or my arm. And so I'm just there. And so what am I concerned about? I'm concerned about the mission. What's going to happen to the mission? What's going to happen to the mission of the church, of Jesus carrying out that? And that's where my thoughts found comfort, is that Jesus, the mission belongs to Him. And He is the King, He is the Sovereign, and He is the one building His church. So here I am, useless, and humanly speaking, in a bed, can't do anything, can't preach, can't go to evangelize, and I'm there. And someone tells me that a lady who had been praying for several years for a church decided to stop by the church and start attending. And she came in. She knew one of the ladies that was attending our church. So it was just a reminder, a confirmation to me that, no, Jesus is the one building His church. I'm not the sovereign. He is. And He is perfectly capable of taking care of His church and of building it. And so many of you have challenges before you have a mission before you. Maybe that mission is to finish seminary. Maybe it's to raise a family or work or provide for your family. And so you look at yourself and you look at your own situation. And perhaps you are like me. You are like you're lying in bed. You are without strength, without resources, and you can't do anything. And perhaps there's concern of how am I going to do this? How is it possible? And brother, the only thing I can say is that the Lord Jesus is sufficient. As King and ruler and sovereign, He is sufficient to accomplish whatever purposes He desires in your life. And that's with the church in Passignano su Trasimeno. That is our comfort and our hope, that Jesus Christ is the King and head of the church, and that He will build His church and add to His church those who are being saved, those who are His. I want to encourage you, if you have any questions whatsoever while I'm speaking, just throw up the hand, and we'll try to answer your questions. I'm thinking of having a time at the end, but if you have a question, just pop up the hand, and I'll respond to that. Okay, do you have a hand up? No? Okay. So that was a valuable lesson for me, lying in bed. But the thing is my hospital bed was a pulpit. In other words, what God had sovereignly put me in, the place where He had placed me, was a pulpit for the gospel. So nurses and doctors would come to my bedside. They would, obviously they're interested in caring for me. And for many of them, I would tell them, I'm praying for you. And many times each day, Ivana remembers this well, but we would have, how many of you use WhatsApp? WhatsApp, okay, a few of you, okay. We use it all the time in Italy. And so my wife would call me on a video call on WhatsApp, and then she would read the Bible. And a couple of times there would be family devotions from a Pastor Ferrari, and they would be there, and we would have family devotions on the video. But we would pray, we would read the Bible, and every nurse there, every doctor there would hear the Bible being read and hear them praying for them, hear us praying for them. So this was a great blessing that in the midst of suffering, in the midst of uncertainty, the Word was going forth. So it was a great comfort to me that it was not in vain, the time in bed, the time in the hospital, that God is able to use that. So I still hope and still pray that those seeds would bear fruit. And so we don't take in vain those sufferings that we have. So right now we are preaching through, I am preaching through Philippians by God's grace, and we seek to carry out various evangelism efforts through hospitality. So if somebody comes to the church and they're new, we very much have an interest to go to them, to meet them in the home, to invite them to our home or go to their home. And through those connections in Italy, relationships are very important, are extremely important. Because people want to be connected. People are very much connected to a family or to the community. Think of Italy, and perhaps this is similar to South Carolina, I don't know. But think of a castle. Children, I want you to imagine a castle. And around this castle, there is a moat. It's full of water and alligators. And it's very dangerous. And you don't know how to get into the inside of that castle so you can talk to people. But in the castle, there is a drawbridge that goes down. And you're asking yourself, how is a drawbridge going to get down? How am I going to get in to talk to people? And that's the feeling, the frustration at many times in Italy that we have in being able to talk to people who are in a closed community, who are very very closed-minded. You're a foreigner. Who are you? Where did you come from? Who is this new guy on the block? And so there's a lot of suspicion. And so that's very much the frustration. How are we going to get to talk to people and meet people? Well, brethren, we have a sovereign God, and this is the beauty of it all, that our God is the one who can convert somebody who is on the inside of the castle. And what happens then? So somebody is converted. We go to their house. We start meeting with them. We talk to them. We open the Bible. And they invite their friends and family who also are in the castle or nearby. And they hear the gospel and they're converted. And they let down. So the family, that person who is converted, lets down the drawbridge. And we were able then to have free access to families, to communities, to people. And that's why prayer, your prayers are so important. That God would work sovereignly to convert somebody or to enable that contact so that we can get to people, to families, and to communities. Again, in South Carolina, I don't know how that is, but sometimes unless you're on the inside, unless you know somebody, you're not going to get that far. In Italy, it's that way. It doesn't matter what you know, it's who you know, your contact, the people you know. And so it's very important that we have a testimony and we get to know people, and that we are introduced by people. So in Italy, if you are introduced by somebody, they might say, well, since this person is introduced by my cousin Johnny, I know Johnny, so I'm going to give them a free pass. I'm going to let them into my home, or I'm going to talk to them. And so these are the types of relationships that are so important. And maybe the same here in South Carolina. The place of that encounter with people, for us anyway, when we were in Viterbo, another place, was the kitchen table with the Bible open, and usually four or five pairs of glasses around the Bible. And the family would come, and they would start asking questions. Anyone guess what the number one question is that we received? Take a guess. So we're Protestant. They're Roman Catholic. So what do you think, humanly speaking, would be the first question somebody would ask? The number one question was, what's the difference between what you believe and what we believe? So they're differentiating. They're suspicious. They want to know who you are, what you're about. And generally, we try to give an answer that includes a gospel presentation. Well, we believe that the Bible alone is our only authority, that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, or et cetera, something like that. You can always improve upon it. But if somebody were to ask you, what's the difference between what you believe here at Antioch and what we believe, what would be your answer? What would you tell them? And these are the type of things, interactions that we have in Italy. Yes. There are those who are more traditional who do not want us there at all. They know what we believe. They know what we're about. Then there are those who are, and Ivana can se tu hai qualcosa da dire, riguardo, ci sono le cattolici che sono tradizionali e poi ci sono coloro che non sono tradizionali. Che sono più. Yeah, the majority part are cultural Catholics. So if you say something against the Pope or against their tradition, they'll defend it tooth and nail, but they don't know how to defend it. Rarely I'll come across people who actually know how to defend it or try to defend it biblically. More so in the U.S., in California, my family members will actually give a defense that is from the Bible. You know, your name is Peter, and on this rock I shall build my church, etc. We've even had an evangelist go to my home parish and give a presentation on how to win Protestants. So I think it was, some of you know the name, Scott Hahn. He was the one, he was the speaker. Read The Solas of the Reformation by John Gerstner, and you can learn more about that there. They're the cultural Catholics. So my job is not to go around bashing Roman Catholics. My job is to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. And if in doing that, the Roman Catholic Church is seen for what it is, that's on God's timing and purpose. But generally, we try to live our lives before them, to love them, and to be gracious, be very gracious to them, invite them to our homes whenever possible, or go to them. And also just everyday life, living our life out, I call lifestyle evangelism, but living our life out in the community in which we find ourselves, being courteous, being thankful, being gracious. And then as we have events, invite them. So there are lots of ways in which we can get to know people, but I think one of the number one ways is just at the table or even at a coffee bar. So in Italy, there are coffee bars everywhere. So here we have Chick-fil-A in a lot of places, okay? Thankful for that. But in Italy, we have coffee bars everywhere. And so the idea of a coffee bar is not like Starbucks where you go and you sit down for 2 or 3 hours or you take a lot of time. It's a precision mission, so to speak. You go in, you get your coffee, and you're out. And sometimes it's just taking it's inviting someone to coffee, saying, hey, let's go for coffee. And so you go there for maybe 10, 15 minutes, but it's an interaction. You exchange a few words. And so that's one way to reach people. What are some other ways that you all reach people? How do you reach out to your friends? Play together. You share some activity together. You want to go play together, right? So you share some activity, something you have in common with somebody, and you go and you together, you participate in that activity. And that's something that we need to cultivate. For example, I had the stroke, and one of the things I've been really focusing on is doing lots of walking. Just walking and walking and walking. So I want to have I wanted to start a group of walking, beginning at our church hall, and then going for a walk and then stopping along the way and having different parts of the path where I'll read a scripture verse, maybe focusing on the I Ams of Jesus or some other scripture. I was an altar boy when I was younger. We had the Stations of the Cross, which bored me to death. But having some type of structure, maybe that they're familiar with, whether it be the I Ams of Jesus or even the Stations of the Cross, and then going for a walk on a path, on each part of the path we'll stop and I'll read a verse and maybe we'll pray or whatever. But that's just one thing I'm thinking of, one way to interact with them and do something, share in some activity together. People like to be part of a community. And so think of what is something you like to do? You like to draw maybe? Or you like to play or do something? And share that activity. Open up the doors to others that they might come in and participate in that. And that's one way in which you get to know people. You get to share your burdens with them. And that's where we need much prayer. When you're praying for us, you can pray that we would have wisdom and courage to be able to open the doors and to enter into people's lives. And that's sometimes it takes wisdom, but also takes courage. Because many times people are going to say, you know, I don't want anything to do with these people. And we have to be ready for that and say, okay. But maybe there's just one person, who's going to be amiable to that and open the door. And they're going to want to talk. Maybe they have some burden to share. Are there any other questions? Or, no? Okay. And some of you I know have from Italian background, family members. Okay. And so many people are going to have an obstacle, some obstacle they're going to throw up, presupposition, some stereotype of you. And so many times we're just living out our lives, breaking down those stereotypes. Oh, these Presbyterians, they're stubborn, they're this or that. And so we need to break down those stereotypes by our lives, by our interactions on a daily basis. We try to go shopping in different stores just to get to know people and have coffee together or something like that. So, brethren, children, start having this in your mind. You are living in a place where the whole world is there. I know that from the BMW, I guess, you have German speaking, French speaking, Michelin. The whole world is here in this area. And so what is it like to go up to somebody and you start speaking to them and they say, non hablo español. Okay? And someone was speaking to Ivana the other day at the airport and Ivana was offering me a cookie and the lady was trying to tell me something. I think she was trying to tell me, give your husband the cookie. But I had to turn to her and I said, non hablo español. And she understood that. But it's frustrating when we can't speak or communicate to somebody because we can't share our burdens. We can't hear their burdens. We have nothing in common. But once you're able to communicate, it's a great thing. So learn a language. Learn a language. So children, the Latin and the Greek, it's not in vain. They serve very well in having the rubrics of having a language. So you could come over. Well, let's start with what do you know? Think of this. What do you know? How do you speak to one another? When you two speak to one another, how do you speak? Do you speak Russian? Do you speak English? Or is there some local dialect? You speak English, okay? So English. We're looking to start a English conversation course where people come. And what I found is that when the Italians come for the English conversation course, the majority of them are not really serious about learning the language. They're not coming to America. They're not going to England. They just want to be part of something, a social environment or something. So they come, and usually we go out to, if we do it, when we did it in Viterbo, we go out for dinner maybe every quarter. And so if a group were to come, or two people were to come, the buddy system, That would be one thing where we could use you right away is English. English. And then we have a group of family from Canada of five girls, and they all play musical instruments. And so that's another thing. So if you come, we have a piano at least at the Perugia Church. And what these girls did, they came and they put on a concert. So we had an event after worship one evening where we invited the neighbors. And they played various classical pieces and some religious pieces. They played Amazing Grace, for example, which was sung by Andrea Puccelli in Assisi. And so we told people this was a song sung by Andrea Puccelli in Assisi. And then Pastor Andrea told the story of John Newton and gave his testimony, essentially. And then they played other pieces. So that's one way where here are some people who have a desire to be part of God's enterprise of missions, but they don't know, what do we do? How do we participate? Well, they came with a willing heart, and they had an ability that God gave them in His providence, and they put that to use. So that's just an example of English, a musical instrument. Yeah, if we need to hand out literature, then we need workers. So there's so many different things to do. Or if a family comes over for summertime, sometimes we have families that come over for summertime, and we'll have them involved in our daily conversations, our daily hospitality. So they're having interactions with Italians as well. There are many Italians who speak English, so it's not like you're in silence. You can't communicate at all. You can communicate. They speak broken English, maybe. Or maybe you can speak a little bit of Italian, or who knows, maybe a common language. For example, Ivana speaks a little bit of French, so she can communicate sometimes. Remember, sometimes with somebody with French. But let me explain what our goal is as well in Italy. Our goal is not to be an independent church. Our goal is to be in communion with other churches who share the same beliefs confessionally and in church government. And so there is a URCNA church plant that is in Perugia. And so we are connected with them. And our desire is together to form a Presbyterian Reformed denomination in Italy. Recently, in June, I met with pastors from two other churches in Italy to start discussing the formation of a communion or a presbytery of churches in Italy. And so that is our desire, that we would work together. Our first task is to put together a church order, a BCO, Book of Church Order. And so my task, working with another man who's been sent by the PCA, is to compare the Dutch order, the Dort order, with our PCA BCO, and see where we can, not compromise, but where we can improve and have a final product in Italian that reflects both systems or even improvements on one or the other. Dr. Piper? Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Okay. Very good.
Good.
Keep at it. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, language is definitely a challenge in any foreign context, but immersion is probably the best. So immerse yourself in Latin. So our desire is to form a presbytery. So Yvonne and I will go back up to Milan, where there is a URCNA church plant. It's an established church. United Reformed Churches in North America. So they come from a Dutch lineage. So they're going to have the three forms of unity as their confessional standard. So they're going to have the Heidelberg Catechism, the Canons of Dort, and the Belgic Confession. They subscribe to those three confessions. So if we're in us working together, obviously, they would have to consider the Westminster standards as part of a Italian confessional standard if we were to have a denomination. So these are some of the differences that need to be worked out. We need to look at the distinctives of each church order, the distinctives of each denomination, and having a mutual respect and understanding we're brothers in Christ and we're together for one King, Jesus, and His gospel of grace. And so that has to be our focus and our emphasis. And then in planting churches, we have the same goal, planting churches that are self-governed, meaning that churches where elders are governing the churches that are chosen by the people from the churches, and where they are self-replicating, so they're sending out men and planting other churches. And so this is our desire. We share those desires together. And so one thing that's very refreshing for me is they these brethren have a conservative view of Reform worship. And so there's not a lot of questions or doubts in that area. So we can go. You could go from here to a church in one of the churches and worship, and you'd be able to follow the bulletin right along and more or less follow the structure of the worship. There would be usually there's the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and so it's a confessional church, and you would see the reading of the law, assurance of pardon, same things. This is one of the things it's a blessing having Reformed worship and being able to go to other churches with our brothers and sisters and realize that, you know, we worship the same God, we have the same standards. So Yvonne and I are grateful that we're here to be able to, well, first of all, I want to thank you for your prayers. You may think nothing of them, but there are days when we don't know how to exit or go through a difficult situation other than to get on our knees and pray. And that's where your prayers come in. You might think nothing of it, but we have a God who hears. He's all-knowing, as Dr. Piper mentioned earlier. He's all-knowing, and He cares, and He knows how to care for us. We do not have a high priest who's not able to sympathize with our weaknesses, but He's able. And so we go with that confidence, praying to Him. And really the same struggles that you all have here, how do we reach people, how do we connect with people, these are the same struggles that we have. And so as God blesses you, and as you hear, you're blessed by sermons of God's Word, as you're blessed by the sacraments, by prayer, these are the same things that we would like to be blessed by. And so essentially you're praying that God would bless you, that He would make His face to shine upon you, and that these blessings then would overflow, and God would hear your prayers, and God would continue to replicate and do the same thing in Passignano, in Umbria, Italy. And so as we read earlier, or in one of the prayers maybe, that the nations would bless our God. And Italy is a country that, it's not that it's worthy of God's mercy, but they are a country that ought to worship the true and living God for who He is, for what He's done. And that's our prayer, that's our hope, that's our desire, that the nations would, indeed, the peoples would bless God. Any other questions, last questions? Okay, we're out of time. We're out of time, okay. Thank you. Yes, okay. Okay. Okay, I got you. Yeah, so pizza, pasta, hope, and people, the peoples. The peoples will praise God because I got my peas in. Okay, thank you, y'all. Yeah, let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You, we praise You. For You are our God. And we thank You that You have not left us in our own sins and misery. We thank You that You have sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. We thank You that we are not blind in this world, but that You have sent Your Son and that You have sent Your Word, Your revelation of Yourself to us regarding how we might be right with You through Jesus Christ. And our desire, Father, is that the salvation through Christ might be known to the ends of the earth, even in the nation of Italy. And we ask that You might begin here, in this place, in this church, that Your face, You would make Your face to shine upon it, and that You would bless this church mightily, so that the blessings might be filled to overflowing, and that they might be replicated throughout the ends of the earth, even in Italy. We thank You, Father, and ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for your attention.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Antioch Presbyterian Church. We are located in the historic Cashville community of Woodruff, South Carolina, near the intersection of South Carolina Highways 101 and 417. For more information about Antioch Presbyterian Church, please visit antiochpca.com.